Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of 1 Samuel. Tonight is study number 114. And we're going to begin our study by turning to 1 Samuel chapter 7 and reading verses 13 and 14. It says in verse 13, "So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel, and the hand of Jehovah was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even unto Gath. And the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites." Here we really find that we have a typical situation that's found in the book of Judges. And the situation is, or the pattern is, that first Israel rebels, and then an enemy rises up. The Lord actually raises up the enemy, and the enemy afflicts Israel. And then Israel turns to the Lord and cries out, beseeching him for help. And the Lord raises up a judge. Finally, the enemy is defeated and subdued. That's a pattern that occurs again and again throughout the book of Judges, and it's happening here with Samuel, who is the last judge. For instance, we find in Judges chapter 3, and we'll look at just a few verses, Judges 3, verse 30. This is after Ehud, the Benjamite, is raised up to win a victory. It says in Judges 3, verse 30, "So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years. So that ends the pattern, and then the land rests. And then also in Judges, in chapter 8, and in verse 28, "Thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more, and the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon." And a third place we'll go to is Judges 11 and verse 33. And this is referring to Jephthah, "And he smote them from Aroer, even till thou come to Minnith, even 20 cities, and unto the plain of the vineyards, with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel." And this is the word that is used in 1 Samuel 7, verse 13. After Samuel goes to the Lord on Israel's behalf and offers the sacrifice, at that very time, Israel wins the battle against the Philistines. And we read that the Lord thundered on them with a great thunder, and they were smitten. And as a result, "So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of Jehovah was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel." And that would be in place of the phrase we saw in the book of Judges, "The land had rest," or "there was quiet." And so in this case, the hand of the Lord was with Samuel and Israel and was against their enemy, the Philistines, all the days of Samuel. And so this just continues to give evidence that Samuel was the last official judge of Israel. And verse 15 picks up that language of 1 Samuel 7, and it says there, "And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life." Now, Samuel's official judgeship is a 20-year period from 1067 until 1047 B.C. And then in 1047, Saul becomes the king of Israel. And at that point, Samuel no longer is the ruler over Israel, but King Saul is. Yet God continues to view Samuel as a judge all the days of his life, because he's a type of Christ, and the Lord Jesus was and is judge. For instance, we read of Christ in the Gospel of John, in John 5, in verse 22, it says, "For the Father judgeth no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son." And also in verse 27, "And has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." And verse 30 also mentions that Christ is judge. "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." So the Lord is the judge, and Jesus never stopped being the judge of all the earth, because he is eternal God. Therefore, Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And in another sense, the Word of God always judges mankind. And Samuel, again, typifying Christ, the Word made flesh, likewise judged Israel all the days of his life. Well, let's continue on, and we'll read verse 16. "And he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places." This is describing historically how Samuel went about his business as being a judge. And he traveled from place to place, city to city, in circuit. And therefore, he was a circuit court judge. We actually, even today, we still have that kind of language to describe certain judges. And it comes from, in America's history, in British history, the fact that at times judges had to travel distances in order to reach the people who needed to settle matters. And so the judge would get on his horse or travel by buggy and go out to a certain district or town, and he would settle disputes at certain times of the year. And the phrase developed circuit court judge, yet actually not realizing it, this term actually comes right out of the Bible from Samuel himself. He was a judge that traveled a circuit, and therefore a circuit court judge. And Samuel went to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. These three places have great historical significance to Israel, and actually tremendous spiritual significance also, and we'll look at that. But first, let's just establish that when Samuel would go in circuit to these places, in all probability, he would stay there for a long period of time, maybe for several months. It could be that he stayed there 3 months each, because in verse 17, it speaks of his return to Ramah, and his home was there, and he also judged Israel there. So he went to four different places, and if he spent 3 months each, that would be the year. And he did this from year to year. And actually, later on, when we continue in our study of 1 Samuel, we're going to find that Samuel will tell Saul to meet him in a certain place and to tarry 7 days. And it doesn't make any sense, because after telling Saul this, it seems a relatively long period of time elapses. But then Saul does go to that place and tarries 7 days, and Samuel does not come according to the days that were appointed. So they had already established, in all likelihood, that according to Samuel's circuit of travel, that once he would get to that place in the proper season, say several months away, then you wait 7 days. But we'll look at that in course when we get to those verses. But at this point, let's just think about these places quickly. First, he would go to Bethel. And Bethel, the name means the house of God. And it was there that the Lord communicated with Jacob when he set a stone for his pillow, and God gave him visions of angels ascending and descending upon the earth and the ladder to heaven. And next he would go to Gilgal. Gilgal is most known for the place of circumcision. If we turn back to Joshua chapter 5, we read in verse 2, it says, "At that time Jehovah said unto Joshua, Make thee sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins." And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. "All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were born in the wilderness by the way as they came forth out of Egypt. Them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness. To all the people that were men of war which came out of Egypt were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of Jehovah, unto whom Jehovah sware that he would not show them the land, which Jehovah sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp, till they were whole. And Jehovah said unto Joshua, This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal, and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even, in the plains of Jericho." What's going to happen is they're about ready to cross the river Jordan into the land of Canaan. And just prior to crossing, they are circumcised. Notice verse 7 said, "Them Joshua circumcised." And Joshua is a picture of Christ, and circumcision is a picture of salvation. The cutting off of the foreskin indicates the shedding of blood, and that typifies salvation in the Old Testament, just like baptism typifies the washing away of sin in the New Testament. And so when Joshua circumcised Israel this second time, it is a beautiful picture of the salvation of spiritual Israel, all of the elect. And once they're all circumcised, they are ready to enter into the promised land. And they cross the river Jordan. And so that's the significance of Gilgal. We see that Bethel had strong historical and biblical significance, and so does Gilgal. And going back to 1 Samuel 7:16, it continues, "And Mitzpah." And Mitzpah, we already looked at earlier in this same chapter. It is where Jacob and Laban made their covenant, and the Lord witnessed it. The Lord watched over it. And it was from there that Israel renewed the covenant with Samuel. And so Samuel went from year to year in circuit to these places and judged Israel in all those places. And it says in verse 17, "And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house, and there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto Jehovah." Ramah, may sound familiar to you because we read about this when we first started reading the book of 1 Samuel, or studying this book. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, it says in verse 19, "And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before Jehovah, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and Jehovah remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of Jehovah." Ramah is where Samuel's parents, Elkanah and Hannah, had their home. And it's where Samuel himself was born. And so, in his circuit, he returned to Ramah, and there Samuel had his house. So he had family, where we can be sure that some of his siblings would have been in the area. It could be that his mother or father were alive for a period of this time. We don't know. The Bible doesn't say when they died. And other relatives would have been around, and he would have felt very comfortable, and certainly it would have been his home. And that was the last place, the fourth place, and it's no accident or coincidence that the circuit included four locations, because the number four identifies with universality. And here it's the four cities in Israel, but we know that Christ is the judge of all the earth, and he is the judge of this world, and so Samuel's circuit travels typify this, since he goes to four places in Israel. One last thing before we just finish our study today and close our looking into 1 Samuel chapter 7, and that is that Ramah, the name, means high place. It is a name that points to the high places of Israel. And we discussed this a little bit, where some of the high places would be places of worship. But this is something we'll also get into a little later when we reach chapter 9, because Saul will meet Samuel, and they will go to a high place, a place of worship. So we'll just wait until that point to continue our discussion on the high places. But at this time, we're going to close our study, and we'll pick it up when we get together in our next Bible study in chapter 8.